Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Monday, May 6th. I'm Stephen Oberle. We know there's a legal battle brewing between TikTok and the federal government. The app is going to fight a new law that requires it to find a new owner or risk being banned. And likely arguments against the law are pretty predictable. Chief among them, TikTok will surely argue that a ban violates the free speech rights of American users and brands that post videos, and in some cases, make money on them. Now, some influencers have come to the company's defense, but what about the brands that use it? How anxious are U.S. companies about losing one of the newest and, frankly, most exciting social media outlets in years? Rachel Carton had that question, too. She's a social media consultant for brands like Kava and West Elm, and author of a Substack called Link in Bio, a business newsletter about the business of social media. Now, I'm not a huge TikTok user, as you're going to hear in this interview, but it's occurred to me that one of the things often missing in the TikTok conversations I hear in Washington is the fact that there are millions and millions and millions of users, something like 170 million in the U.S., many of whom don't really get this whole divest or ban debate, and whose experience using TikTok, how it drives culture, trends, dance videos, humor, music, is so divorced from the geopolitical tensions swirling around it. So I called up Rachel to talk about what losing TikTok could mean for online culture and commerce. Here's our conversation. Well, Rachel, welcome to Politico Tech.
Thanks for having me.
So I know you track TikTok as part of your job, part of the Substack newsletter that you write. Are you actually a big user of TikTok?
Oh, yeah. To like detriment, honestly. But
what kind of content are you posting? What about the platform is so attractive to you? Because I'll admit, I'm a sometimes user, but I'm mostly a lurker. I've actually never posted a TikTok.
Yeah, I'd say I'm a big time lurker, but I also do try and post, you know, I feel like with my newsletter, I've got to spread the word. And so there's like bouts of like motivation that I'll have to post on TikTok. And so I'll have a month where I'm on and then a month where I'm like, what's TikTok? I don't post on that.
Right. Can't get to it. I mean, what's on your TikTok page? Annie, our producer, for instance, follows like North Sea Storms, which is like so niche and weird, but like, hey, to each their own.
But it's not. That's the wild thing. I'm on North Sea TikTok, too.
All right. I've got to get on North Sea TikTok. It's where everybody's hanging out. I don't know that. You know, like I said, I lurk. I watch TikToks. And a lot of TikToks, though, I'll see. I'm one of those like millennials who sees a lot of their TikToks through Reels or, you know, through YouTube Shorts or other platforms. But I know they originate on TikTok. It does seem to be the driver of short form video content.
Yeah, I think that TikTok, the algorithm is really different than YouTube Shorts' algorithm. It's really different than Instagram's algorithm. The way that it, you know, if you watch one video through, they're like, you must want to watch 10 more about X, the North Sea, or makeup reviews, or whatever it might be. They are learning about you at a much quicker pace than I think the other algorithms. And so the ability for something or a topic to just really kind of blow up on there is a lot more likely than on other platforms.
And so when, you know, we're talking about TikTok being sold, potentially being banned, what comes up for you when you hear that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think about its impact on culture just generally. I think about, you know, there's always going to be a place for people and for brands to post short form video. I'm not concerned about that. There's Reels, there's YouTube Shorts. But when I think about culture at large and just like, you know, if you think about Stanley Cups and the way that those just sort of spiraled, like that was TikTok.
I didn't realize that.
If you think about the SNL skits that we watch right now, like a lot of that source material is coming from insights from TikTok. And so how will culture just generally change, maybe for better, maybe for worse, but without TikTok in the picture, I think is really interesting to me.
Well, it's like if you think about a lot of songs that get popular very quickly now, it's TikTok is a huge driver of that, right? I mean, first Beyonce single off her new album, right? Everyone heard that through TikTok and through all those dances.
Yep. And I think it's like music. I think about a lot of small businesses who, you know, got to almost like cut the line through TikTok because their product went viral on TikTok. And that just doesn't happen on other platforms. So I also think about how small businesses, smaller creators, it really kind of democratized what can go viral. And so I think I worry about that impact as well if it were to be banned.
Do you feel like there's a disconnect in the discourse between people who use TikTok and people who don't?
In what way?
Like, there's all this talk being in Washington, for instance, about TikTok being a national security threat, and it's a tool for China to manipulate all of us. I mean, it's just talked about in like these very threatening terms, but then, you know, you go on it and like people are dancing to Beyonce. You know, it sometimes it seems like there's dissonance there.
Yeah, I mean, as somebody who's read a lot of articles about the TikTok ban, I'm still unclear of the exact threat. And, you know, I think it's also hard for consumers when, you know, we're hearing that it's such a huge threat, it needs to be banned. And then you see, you know, Biden's campaign is still posting on TikTok. So if it was such a huge threat, then, you know, wouldn't they be getting off of it immediately?
I think that's a fair question, you know, personally, because there's a lot of hypocrisy there, right? To say this is a bad platform, people shouldn't be on it, and yet the president's campaign does still use it. I guess feels in some ways like a silly question, but, you know, has anything you've seen on TikTok, like, given you the impression that it is something to be worried about?
I don't think that from, like, a national security threat, I'm, like, maybe not the best person to comment on that, but nothing feels scary to me in that way. I would say, like, the thing that scares me the most is just how addictive their algorithm is, and it really is. And so I'd be more concerned of it from that perspective than feeling like somebody is like meddling in it for other purposes. And I would say that all of the social media platforms, there should be concerns around national security or meddling in that way. If you're going to call TikTok out, we should call out the other platforms as well.
Right. And there are questions on all these platforms, for instance, about whether they have addictive properties or, you know, whether they're harmful to teens and their self-worth and things like that. So those are concerns that extend beyond TikTok. You know, it's unique, I guess, in that because of its ownership structure, because it does have these ties to the Chinese government that other platforms don't, that's sort of the cause for concern. But to your point, how exactly that is, you know, posing a threat is definitely still very much sort of a gray area. We talked before about kind of all these different platforms where folks can post. I know you've talked to brands about what impact the TikTok ban could have on them. What did you hear in response?
I was basically hearing that alarms aren't going off, you know, at these companies. I talked to people who lead social at the Washington Post. I talked to people who lead social at Sweetgreen. You know, it's sort of business as usual with a little bit more of a focus on YouTube Shorts, on Reels. But I think that it's sort of a, like, for lack of a better term, like a YOLO attitude from brands of like, I'm going to post on this platform until the bitter end. I'm going to get all that I can out of it. And then we'll see what happens.
When we talked about TikTok driving kind of social cultural trends, does it drive business and marketing trends too?
Oh, 100%. 100%. And I've also written about how we see, you know, right now, maybe you've noticed TikTok carousels, you know, it's a swipe with text. Brands are taking that to Instagram, that same format. Brands are taking that to Twitter. So it's extends beyond, you know, brands' Instagram strategies are informed by what works on TikTok. Brands' Twitter strategies are informed by what works on TikTok. It's driving a language around how we talk about brands right now. And so when that goes away, that language goes away. Where's the source of some of these funnier moments for brands? Like, I'm not sure.
I saw in one of your newsletters, one of the subheads, like, was why a TikTok ban would ruin other platforms.
Yeah.
Was that for this reason, or what led you to that kind of conclusion?
Yeah, it was exactly that. It was exactly, you know, I think, again, also when you think about brands on TikTok or even creators on TikTok, their Instagrams are growing because they're funneling that audience over to Instagram. So if you think about TikTok, it's a discovery platform. I'm not really actually following that many people or brands on TikTok. I don't know if you are, but I'm like, it knows my algorithm. It'll show me somebody again if I like them. But then you reach a point with that where you're like, hey, I really like this creator. I'm going to follow them on Instagram. And that's where you go deeper with them. But you're discovering them on TikTok, you're discovering small brands on TikTok, and then you're going over to Instagram to continue that relationship with them. So what happens when that discovery goes away? I think that Instagram will need to figure out an algorithm that caters a little bit more to discovery than right now. It's a little bit more focused on community and existing community. So I'm curious to see how they sort of, you know, not only tout Reels, but also tout a new algorithm potentially for discovery.
You know, as someone working in media, discovery is really hard, and it's a huge value to have a platform that does help with that, without a doubt, because getting people to find new stuff in such a crowded informational environment is just really, really tricky. You know, TikTok, interestingly, you know, the company has made this case that they are, you know, an important platform for creators, that they do drive a lot of business. And there have been studies that it contributes meaningfully to the U.S. economy. Does, I guess, TikTok as a commercial platform, what's the impact if that goes away?
I think that I know a lot of brands that spend a lot of money on TikTok ads. And I think that a lot of the creators and the creator economy that a lot of brands rely on right now to do sponsored posts, those people are gaining their following from TikTok. And so they move that over to Instagram and then they're an influencer. But it's all happening and, you know, starting out on TikTok. So I think the creator economy in general has been fueled by TikTok. So what happens then? Are there new creators? Is there another Alex Earle? Is there another Charli D'Amelio? I'm not sure. I think TikTok really created those, you know, breakout stars, for lack of a better word.
You know, the influencer economy, it's very unique and very fickle in a lot of ways, I think. I guess to the extent maybe you talk to influencers, do you hear different concerns from them than you do from big brands about this platform going away? You know, especially those that have devoted so much time to building an audience through TikTok.
Yeah, I think that their concerns, you know, are about just continuing to grow, continuing to reach a new audience. They don't, I think, find that they can do that as well on an Instagram. And I think it also is, you know, the creator economy works because there's constantly new creators coming up that are getting discovered, that whose content feels new and fresh. And I think there would be a stark sort of like drop off of new talent that's coming in. And I think that would be a really bad thing for the creator economy in general.
Were the people you talked to surprised by what happened in Washington, how quickly this sort of bill to sailor ban TikTok kind of came together and passed? I wonder how that looked outside of our ecosystem here in the Beltway.
I think that people were surprised, but I hear from a lot of people that they just like don't think it's going to happen yet. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel like there really will be any sort of bad outcome. So I think it's a little bit of like out of sight, out of mind. Like I'll keep an eye on it. But for now, it's sort of like business as usual. It's not affecting my day-to-day quite yet.
Right. Just sort of plow ahead and see what happens. Because, I mean, there are still a lot of unanswered questions about whether this will survive legal challenges and things of that nature. You know, we've talked obviously about the cultural impact and the business impact of TikTok potentially getting banned. I guess, do you see this creating room for a new platform to emerge if TikTok does in fact go away? Or is it a matter of other existing platforms kind of absorbing people's time and attention?
I would personally love to see a new platform kind of pop up that sort of could replicate the discovery social entertainment side of things. I don't think that any platform is doing that well now. I think that, you know, of the brands that I've heard that could potentially buy TikTok, the caveat is always in the articles, like it would change it a lot. I'm like, well, the whole point is I think that a lot of people really like it the way it is right now. And so right. I think there's a lot of opportunity, even if it does get bought, for another platform to come and sort of be that really exciting, discovery-oriented entertainment short form video platform. I'm open to it.
Well, listen, Rachel, really interesting insights. Thanks for being here on Politico Tech.
Thanks so much.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. See you back here tomorrow.